what we put in our mind and who we surround ourselves with, it really makes the impact. And working in a hospital, a very high intensity department, you know, it was a very negative work environment. So what did we do on the weekends or the weekends that I had off? We would go out and we would talk about how bad it was. So it wasn't bad enough that we worked in it, but now we kept bringing it up in the same scenarios and how we dealt with certain cases. And that was our stress relief, was talking about this over alcohol. So that was a coping mechanism to numb the pain, right?
Yeah.
And so not realizing doing this pattern for years and years and years, that was feeding the disease.
We believe that you are strong by design, and you were made in God's image to have a strong body, mind, and spirit. You're listening to the number one Strength and Health Authority podcast in the world. So let's get ready to unlock your potential and transform your life in today's episode.
Hello, and welcome back to the Strong by Design podcast. I'm your host today, Coach Tanya, and joining me today is the lovely and amazing Jennifer Jenkins. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Hi, Tanya. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So happy that you could be on the show. Now, Jennifer and I actually just met like a week ago at the South Tampa Chamber Breakfast with the Mayor, and I was there with a friend of mine, and she's like, oh, you have got to meet Jennifer. So she made the introduction, and within 5 minutes of talking to her, I'm like, I have to get her on the show. So I right away didn't waste any time and said, would you be on the podcast? And she graciously said yes. So I wanted to get her on right away. So here we are today. Jennifer is the woman behind Rooted Holistic Health. She is a holistic registered nurse, health advocate, a wellness specialist, and certified health coach. And her mission revolves around empowering individuals to lead healthier, more fulfilling lives through a thorough analysis of root causes. Her goal is to help others achieve sustainable well-being, to prevent diseases and illness, and optimize disease management. And it was her personal journey towards holistic self-healing that catalyzed by her own health scare that has been very influential in her going forward on this path. So Jennifer, welcome. I cannot wait to dive into some of this and learn more about you and share your mission and everything that you do and who you are and, of course, where we can find you with our audience. So
yeah.
Welcome. And why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thanks so much thanks for having me. And it's always a pleasure to be on a platform with like-minded and just to share the message of healing and hope and health. And yeah, so I've been in the medical realm been a registered nurse for 25 years. And what I found was about 14 years ago, I'd hit rock bottom with my health. And I dropped to my knees. It was 2011, New Year's Eve. I'll never forget the moment. Dropped to my knees, just praying like, there's got to be a better way. I was doing everything I was told to do. I was seeing all the specialists. I was taking all the medications. I was doing everything, you know, as a nurse, I was told to do. It was the compliant patient. And I developed a whole slew of medical issues. I didn't know what was happening to my body. Yeah. And just one thing after another. And before I knew it, I was seeing 8 specialists and just really was afraid that I wasn't even going to be around for my kids. And I told my husband, I said, I'm either going to be dead on disability in 10 years. I don't know which one's coming first, but I was scared to death at that moment because nothing was working.
Wow.
And so I just canceled our plans on New Year's Eve. And I locked myself in the bathroom and my husband's like, are you okay? And I was like, no, I'm really not. But I really took a long, hard look in the mirror and didn't even recognize myself at that moment. Huge bags under my eyes. I looked 10 years older than what I was. Couldn't even function, couldn't think clearly, and just felt miserable in my own skin. And I knew that it was up to me to make the change, that I could no longer rely on outside sources, that I need to turn inward and really go on this mission and this quest to heal myself. And that was that moment where I was like, okay, this is it. And so I really started to, you know, analyze what am I putting into my body? What kind of environment am I working in? I was in an extremely toxic work environment. I was working night shift for 10 years, being circadian, like my circadian rhythm didn't even know what was happening anymore, right? I was like waking, sleeping. And just so many things I was doing was not in alignment with health. And no one, what I realized during that time was nobody ever asked me, like, hey, what's your sleep like? What's your diet like? What's your work-life balance like? What, you know, who are you hanging with? No, the basic questions were never asked. And so I knew that I had to go on this quest of just self-healing. And that's what I did. And I went back to school. I started studying anything and everything I can get my hands on with nutrition, started understanding the mindset, started understanding gut health, started understanding the environment, literally everything. And I was like, oh my gosh, how bad I was living my life and not realizing it. And so little by little, I started to change. And when I made that decision to make a change, what I found was I wasn't only changing, my entire family was changing. I was buying things differently. My kids had no idea I was doing anything differently. I was just shopping differently, buying different foods. And I noticed they were changing. And my husband had lost 40 pounds. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, it was because, you know, I was the one going to the grocery store and I was no longer buying the processed garbage. I was putting in real quality foods into our family's homes. And we were no longer shopping on convenience. We were shopping intentionally for our health. And I started to like be more active and just so when I say everything changed in my life. And so over the course of the year, I completely did a full recovery with my health and was able to come off of the medications, was able to heal. And I knew that I made a promise to myself in that moment in 2011, that if I healed myself, I would not allow other people to have to suffer like I did for years. And I wanted to create something reputable that people could trust and had concrete, you know, a structure in place. Because when I was looking for holistic wellness plans, the amount of misleading information that is on the internet.
Yes.
And seeing so many people jeopardize their health in the sake of results, I was like, there's got to be a better way. And so that's where I just really, you know, have taken this time. So over the past, you know, since that moment, I've been a forever student of this practice. And year after year after year, I continue to grow and evolve and learn and surround myself with experts and just open my eyes to a much bigger vision of not only, you know, it started with me, but now this is about really helping so many people reclaim control over their health.
Wow. Just, I mean, wow. yeah. What a story. And I don't even want to say transformation, because transformation doesn't seem like the right kind, like the right word for what you just described. And what I love, and what also makes me sad, a little sad about what you said, is that, because we work in we work in the same industry, is not dismissing men, because I'm sure there's a lot of men that feel this way or going through stuff, but they might not be as open to asking for help, or just, you know, will sometimes talk themselves into, well, I'm getting older. This is what happens when you get older. But the number of women that in 25, 27 plus years that have sat across from me and have just described exactly, like, you know, I don't even know who I am anymore. I feel like I'm going crazy. Nothing's working. And they'll come in with little, I can remember sitting at my desk. This is when I was living in New Zealand and I was working there. And this woman came in with like a little Tupperware container, not little, but not huge. And there had to be 16 different little bottles of prescriptions that she was taking. And I thought, ugh. And I remember thinking, I hope I can help her, because that to me was such an overwhelming moment for this person to come in. And what the sad part is that these are women that are doing, like you said, exactly what they're being told. Take this, do this, do a cycle of this, do another round of this. So it's not like they're looking for an easy way out. They're looking for a way to feel good, to feel better, to have that, you know, to really optimize their health. And so they're doing the right things, or the things that they're told. And it's either nothing's changing, or they're slowly getting worse to the point where they end up at that moment going, there's no hope. So what I want to go back to, when you talked about the changes you made. And we're going to get to food and all of that. But I really want to talk about the importance of things like your environment, you know, where you're working, what that work-life harmony is like, the people you hang out with. And while sometimes, you know, I've talked with people that I can hear, even though they're not doing it, I can hear their eyes rolling in their head like, oh, well, whatever. Like this, it sounds so new agey, fluffy, but it is so important. Your environment, the things and the people that you surround yourself with will either propel you forward or they will drag you down. So can you talk a little bit about that in terms of how and why that is such an amazing impact? And sometimes I found almost a starting point with a patient, like to talk with them about, let's just tell me what your day looks like. Okay, now tell me what your week looks like. And in there are some pretty big flags of things that can be changed or altered. And like, why is that so important?
Yeah, it's mindset. I go back to mindset, like number one, because that's an area that I love to focus on with my clients, because it's so important, you know, having that mindset. But it's what we put in our mind and who we surround ourselves with, it really makes the impact. And so for me, beginning, you know, I was in working in a hospital, a very high intensity department, you know, a lot of adrenaline rush, very critical thinking, very
cortisol all over the place.
Cortisol all over the place. You throw in the mix of not working night shift. So I would start my shift at 7 p.m. I wouldn't get off till 7:30 in the morning, and then not to bed till 9:30, and then up at 2:30. And I did this 3 days out of the week. And so I was all over the place. So that was one thing. So that throws off your hormones in general. But then the mindset component of, you know, it was a very negative work environment. Very negative. And it's because it was so negative. So what did we do on the weekends or the weekends that I had off? We would go out and we would talk about how bad it was. So it wasn't bad enough that we worked in it, but now we kept bringing it up in the same scenarios and how we dealt with certain cases. And that was our stress relief, was talking about this over alcohol. So that was a coping mechanism to numb the pain, right?
Yeah.
And so not realizing, doing this pattern for years and years and years, that was feeding the disease.
Yeah.
And when I really started to think about, okay, if I want to make a change with my health, I've got to surround myself with others that are that value health. So this is no longer serving me. And when I really started to look at the research too, I thought it was really interesting. And you might have seen this, but there was a study that came out of Harvard that, you know, the people that surround themselves that are overweight, you have 171% likeliness of becoming overweight yourself by just your environment. So realizing that, I'm like, if I want to have health, I need to surround myself with others that are going to be encouragers, positive, supporters, and that are going to make this mission, my journey, a whole lot easier. And so that's what I did. I started surrounding myself and people that were in the wellness space, that were on the same mission. And that inspired me because I saw people that were overcoming things that were told could never be overcome.
Yeah.
And that inspired me so much because I was like, if they can do it, I can do it, right? And so there's so much to be said with having a positive, supportive environment around you. It's so critical.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And there's that, I mean, you can pick up almost 100% of self-help books or books that talk, like whether it's in your business or in your relationships or with your health. I would be willing to bet 100% of them at some point mentioned, like, you know, that saying of you become who you hang out with. So your environment in terms of your tribe is incredibly important. And what I love about having a really strong tribe or surrounding yourself with like-minded people is the accountability factor too, because like I was a coach for years. I'm still a coach, but I still have a coach. Right? Like, I believe it would be very fraudulent or hypocritical of me to promote an industry that I don't myself trust or utilize. And it's, you know, rarely are you going to find a doctor who's going to do his own surgery on himself. You know, he's going to find another and probably the best doctor he can find to perform that surgery and do that for him. And so I think surrounding yourself with the right people, whether that's, you know, or I think it needs to be all inclusive, Who are your work peers? Who are your social peers? Even sometimes people in the family who you're spending more time with. All of it plays into it. And those people that you surround yourself with that have like-minded goals or are living the kind of lifestyle that you are working to attain or just maintain and sustain will hold you accountable, not, you know, in a really healthy way and be like, you know, hey, because we all have moments. I mean, I have days that will come and, you know, because I stayed up a little later than my norm working and the alarm goes off or I wake up and I think, I don't feel like going to the gym this morning. Or I don't feel like getting up and going for that walk. But you do it because I know I'm going to be meeting up with so-and-so at 11 o'clock. And they're going to ask me, how was the workout? Or how was your walk? How many steps did you get in yesterday? And I better have a good answer. You know, and it's a good thing to have because it's harder to be 100% accountable to ourselves. It's a lot easier to let ourselves off the hook when we're having an off day or not feeling quite like doing it. But when you have those people and you know, it's a lot easier to stick with your goals long term.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, when you said, so 2011, you're at that, your rock bottom, okay? And then you started making changes. So this is a couple questions here. So number one, what initially, when you came out of the bathroom and you decided things were going to be different, because I would really like our listeners to understand, you can't just do everything all at once. It's kind of like when somebody goes, okay, that's it, I'm going to lose weight. And then they come home and they throw all the food out because they're going to start fresh. It's not, I always say it's not really the best way to do it. There's a process so that it sticks. So when you came out of the bathroom and you're going to make these changes, what did you start with? Like give us a bit of a glimpse into what that process looked like, kind of where you started and how you built on it. Because I mean, to look at you, you would never think that in 2011 you were there because A, gorgeous, fit, vibrant, like amazing. So people are going to want to know after seeing you and hearing you, okay, what did she do and how did she do it and how do you build on that so that, because you're clearly sustaining it even today.
Yeah, I appreciate that very much. People don't know that side of me. And that's why I share this story for inspiration, because I don't believe, like, you know, you don't have to be stuck. There is hope. And it just is understanding how to do it. And so I'll kind of give the analogy that I give a lot of my clients when I start working with them is, we want to think about our health as if we're building a skyscraper. And our health is, what is the one thing perhaps that you see, like if you've ever watched a skyscraper being built, is like, you think like, this thing is never going to like come up. They're working on this foundation forever. Like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden you drive by like 2 months later, and then all of a sudden though, it's like, where did this building come from? It just came up out of nowhere. And I knew, being a nurse, like the nutrition is key, because what we put in our body becomes part of our blood, our cells, our tissues, our organs. It makes up who we are. So when, you know, the school of thought is we are what we eat, 100%, right? So I knew that had to be number one. That was the foundation that had to be laid first. I knew that if I took time and I spent time on the foundation and I started understanding the body and I started understanding metabolic health, balancing out the insulin levels, protecting my muscle, those sort of things were critical. So I knew nutrition was key. So I started reading every single label, throwing out things I couldn't pronounce, you know, buying more organic foods, sticking to like things that I knew were going to nourish the cells and create healing and not feed disease. That was number one. And then after the foundation, then I look at, okay, well, what's the infrastructure that needs to come up? What's the plumbing, the electric, the walls, the fixtures, what things of level of importance did I need to focus on? So I knew nutrition was number one. I also knew and mindset was going to be number two, because I've got to be in a healthy environment for me and surrounding myself with the right people that were going to be supportive. And like you, Tanya, yes, I've had coaches my entire life, like since I started this journey, and I still do today. And I've been humbled myself to be a student of this practice for all these years and you know, really soak up the wisdom of those around me, because I don't know it all and I'll never claim to know it all. And I'm always growing. I'm on a growth mindset. So, and I know that we can get better and better, and we should always be evolving. So I would say number one, nutrition, you know, that was key. And then mindset, and then sleep, because if we're not sleeping, we're not healing. So I knew I had to get off that night shift schedule and I had to get more normalcy in my life. And so started regulating the circadian rhythm, understanding how the importance of light, how that impacts the hormonal response in the body. And then, you know, looking at the energy, what kind of energy in my body, in my home that I had to clean up my home and really think about, you know, what kind of energy am I having in my home and the chemicals that I was using in my home as well. So there's so much. I'd love to say it's like one thing, but as you know, building a house or a skyscraper, there's a lot of variables that come into the equation. It's not just diet and it's not exercise. And that's the advice I was hearing over and over again in a clinical setting. You know, a patient gets diagnosed with type 2 diabetes or heart disease or something. Well, you just need to exercise more and eat less. Well, what kind of advice is that?
Yeah.
Eat less McDonald's, right?
Right.
What does that look like? So so that's where that was the kind of the advice I was given to. And I was like, okay, this is not advice that we give.
No, it's such a blanket. I call it a blanket prescription because anybody that's overweight or that wants to lose weight that isn't feeling good, a lot of times, yeah. And I mean, most of us have grown up knowing or understanding if you move more and eat less, that's better for your body. But if you take somebody that grew up in a household, let's say both parents were working, money was tight, probably preparing really nutritionally dense meals is something that's a little foreign to them or not something like they don't, you know, maybe they grew up not really, salads were not, or fresh vegetables were not a big part of mealtime. You know, maybe a lot of it was what was fast and quick that mom and dad could put together easy because one parent's running out the door one way, one's running out the other door the other way. There's soccer practice, there's parent-teacher interviews. Life gets busy and it's not, you know, I don't want to fault people. That's the one thing I'm careful of when clients come in. And if they themselves are busy, like working the night shift, they got three kids and they're very involved. I don't want to say that it's not easy, but it takes time to transition into something where prioritizing your health and being committed to like those building blocks of making small changes every day consistently to build kind of a new lifestyle. So it can happen, but I think that's where the coaching, as much as the suggestions and the recommendations when it comes to nutrition, exercise, type of cleaning products you use, all of that, as important as that is, I think the coaching side where it's like, okay, this isn't going to happen in 30 days and it's probably going to take longer than 90 days. But if you stick with it, we will actually get you to where you've now created a lifestyle that's way more accommodating to supporting prioritizing your health.
Mm-hmm.
And it can, you know, because it's not, we don't, there is no quick fix. As much as a lot of us would want the quick fix, you know, and we live in a time where there's a lot of quick fixes available, but they're so short term. And they're starting to be abused in ways that aren't really going to be helpful long term.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have their place for people that are at a crisis point where if something doesn't happen really quickly,
correct.
You know, we're looking at kind of a terminal outcome in a very short amount of time. So let's do this to get you past that. But in the meantime, we need to work on, again, building the house, starting from the ground up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So so many questions. One thing I do want to address, because this does come up a lot, like food intolerances, food insensitivities. And this is a topic I love. I could talk about this forever.
Okay.
But I want to ask you, why do you think it's such an issue and it seems to be something way more common, like way more. I remember back when I was a kid, the big thing was being very aware of the child in my class who was allergic to peanut butter or peanuts.
Right.
Big thing. And now it's like gluten sensitivities, lactose sensitivities, sensitivities to nightshade, sensitivities like it's just food intolerances and sensitivities are massively on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of that is maybe an awareness, probably things that maybe weren't known or understood years and years ago. And now that they are, we can accommodate and you know, help with the nutrition side of those people that have, you know, gut issues. And so they can't assimilate certain nutrients. But why do you think this is something that is such a big thing and seems to be growing?
Oh, yeah, it's a huge concern. And it's only getting worse. Yeah, like you mentioned, it's just growing. And so much of this, so when I, you know, I had leaky gut, I developed the gluten intolerance. I got tested and carry the gene for celiac. And so I always say, like, my patients are usually the experts in what they're dealing with, because most times they'll go home and they'll research everything and then they'll look at like every, and that's really how I was with my approach too. When I developed all of these things, I'm like, what's causing this? And you know, all these factors. And I actually went back to school and studied horticulture and plant biology and like understanding like what's in the environment and the chemicals and the GMOs and the, you name it. And so what I have really concluded is we have over 3,000 chemicals in our food supply this day and age. Digest that for a moment.
Yeah.
We've gotten so far disconnected from Mother Nature and what our body was intended to consume and utilize and absorb, that now we are playing in a different playing field. We have additives, we have preservatives, we have pesticides, we have herbicides, we have genetically modified organisms. We have so many factors that come into play now that create this response within the body, because the body is rejecting it. It doesn't know how to deal with these chemicals. And so when you give something, this is why we get side effects with medication. The body's like, whoa, what are you giving me? I don't know how to respond to this. This is a foreign chemical that's coming into your body that it's trying to safeguard you. And it's telling you like, okay, it's creating these side effects. Well, food is the same way. So when we start adding in all these foods that have all these synthetic ingredients in them, we're no longer dealing with just eating an apple that's grown out in nature that's not given any type of, you know, intervention. It's just grown in its environment and the antioxidants are a lot higher. So there's a lot of factors. So one of the biggest things right now that we're seeing is glyphosate. Glyphosate is the number one thing that I'm really seeing significantly of with, you know, it's a very toxic herbicide that's being used. And so when we have this chemical that's being used on the foods, it's stripping out literally like the membranes of the intestinal tract, increasing permeability. So we have the foods that we're consuming now are going out into the bloodstream. And the body is like, what are you doing here? That this isn't, the food's not meant to be out here in the bloodstream. It's meant to be in the intestinal tract. We digest it, absorb it, utilize it, and then get rid of what we can't use. And so now, because of the increased permeability, more and more people are seeing intolerances and they're seeing allergies because these things are going out into the bloodstream. So I'll give you an example. When I had leaky gut, I did an allergy test and everything lit up that I was eating. Apples, celery, carrots, lettuce, strawberries,
healthy foods,
everything I was eating I was positive for on my allergy test. And I'm like, what in the world is going on here? And so I focused on healing my gut, taking out like the big contaminants, taking these things out. And now I have these things on a daily basis with no issues at all.
So how did you, for somebody that's listening, without, I know like we're not, you don't work for free.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you could give our audience like, what is, for somebody that's listening in particular, like I'm thinking about that woman, that man, that mother, father, even like, you know, and their children, they're on like a limited budget, but they're listening, they're going, this is me, I can't seem to. And I had this mm-hmm. conversation with a coach of mine a couple of weeks ago going like, I'm getting tired of no matter what I eat, I feel bloated and not unwell after I eat it. Mm-hmm. So what would be one recommendation that you could give our listeners, like, you know, for like leaky gut or healing the gut lining, what's one thing that they can do so they can eat the celery, that like the healthy foods? Because sure, you get to a point where it's like, well, what's the point of eating? I'll just stick to protein shakes or whatever, because no matter what I put in, I don't feel right. Uh-huh. What's one thing that they can do? and particularly those that are working with like a limited budget.
Mm-hmm. Try to, I would say, you know, organic, if you can, is going to be the best thing. You know, it's hard to give you like one specific thing because there's so many factors, right, that's coming up for me right now. You know, people say, oh, gluten-free is just a fad. It's just a thing. No, it's not. That is the most heavily sprayed, contaminated, you know, the wheat, the corn, the soy, like these are the most heavily contaminated crops that are causing the issues. So gluten-free is number one. That's like a number one thing that we should adopt in our country. Like if we went across seas to other countries where this isn't like it's more regulated, they don't allow these things, you're not going to have these type of problems. It's a major problem here. And so I'd say like gluten-free is number one because we know it's the most heavily sprayed and contaminated.
Right.
And it causes the most increase, the permeability of the intestinal lining. But, you know, can I answer though? Can I give you a couple of things? Because it's hard to get.
Oh, no, absolutely. Okay. You can give as many as you like because okay. I'm sure everybody has stopped in their car and they're taking notes now on their phone before hitting Whole Foods.
You know, and that's where I love people where they're at. And I think that living a healthy lifestyle should not be for the rich and famous. And it should not be for those that have their own chef and that can control every ingredient. This should be for everybody. This should be the normalcy.
Yeah.
And making it more affordable. And what I love to tell people, we need to start voting with our forks, meaning putting our foot down and no longer tolerating these type of things. And because these big food manufacturers follow the dollar. And when the dollar is, when people no longer are buying these things and they're no longer putting these chemicals in their body, they are going to be forced to now change what they're doing to meet the demand of yeah. what people want. So when I went gluten-free 13, 14 years ago, it was really hard for me because there was not the labels that there is today. I had to read everything. I had to really look and pay attention. And now you go into restaurants, I can easily go in, ask for a gluten-free menu. You go into the grocery store. So that's what I'm talking about. That's because enough people have caught on and they're making this movement that now we're seeing it. So if we can keep that same thing going, like with people wanting cleaner options, I don't want these chemicals. I don't want these artificial dyes, colorings, preservatives. I don't want this stuff in my food. And when more people start to do that, and support our local farmers, right? Support the ones that are doing it right.
The ones that are feeding.
Yeah. What's that?
The ones that are feeding us.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, there's so many great options that are out there now for people that are on a budget. Like you don't have to go spend a ridiculous amount of money on, you know, clean ingredients. There are great grocery stores out there now that you can get things at a fraction of the price that are doing things right. So yeah. Those are the ones that I love to support and, you know, that are going to be in alignment with the goals that we're after with our health.
Yeah, that great advice. So, I totally agree. It always still does bother me that to be like being healthy should be an option for everybody. It should be available to everybody, regardless of their socioeconomic
standing,
right?
Yes.
And you know, it's frustrating and maddening that you can go through a fast food drive through. And feed your three children for much less than it costs to go to the grocery store and get especially now because groceries are so expensive. Everybody,
right.
You know, it's like the number one, that and gas. Everybody's big beef right now, the price of things because,
right.
You know, things are so expensive. But it's really, really maddening that, you know, those parents that are working and have children to feed in a pinch when time is short and they're, you know, tired and there's so much going on that they can run through a drive-through to feed their children at a fraction of the cost of like in their minds than going to the grocery store to buy the fresh, healthier ingredients for, you know, a nutritionally dense meal.
Right.
So I'm glad that you mentioned that. I'm glad that you mentioned it doesn't, you know, you don't have to go to like a Whole Foods, a lot of our regular chain grocery stores are kind of stepping up their game in what's available in terms of organic, also like the gluten-free options, the lactose-free options. There is a lot more, you know, 15, 20 years ago, it was difficult, but it's catching on. Restaurants, like you say, restaurants have the menus, or you can ask, they'll say, if they don't have a separate menu, the menu will say, you know, if you have any food allergies or sensitivities, they can accommodate that. You just have to let your server know. So it's catching on, and I hope it continues to catch on, because I would really like to see big change in our food industry. So it becomes more about health and less about business.
Correct.
It's very business driven.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So what type of client, for those listening, what type of clients do you work with?
Who do you work with? I work with a wide range. And so my sweet spot where I love working, you know, with the clients that I love working with are those that are struggling with the gut health issues. So that's number one. And metabolic issues, because it's so prevalent right now in our country. I just listened to another podcast earlier last week, and I knew like 88% of Americans were considered to be metabolically unhealthy, but that's jumped to 93% now. And when I heard that, I was like, this is a major, major concern, because inflammation is the root of disease. And we've got, with 93% of Americans considered metabolically unhealthy, that is extremely alarming. So that's an area that I love to focus on, is metabolic health. So people that are struggling with type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, you know, all those, weight loss, you know, I do things the right way and teach them sustainability and permanent weight loss. And so that's what I love to work with, those type of clients.
Oh, excellent. And do you take younger clients? Like, do you have people that come and have children or young adults, teenagers, and be like, fix my child?
On special occasions, I will, but only through the parents, because the children don't do the grocery shopping. The parents do, and they're the ones controlling the environment. So I work with the parents. It's not just the child. So on special occasions, I will do that. Yeah. But
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm a client, I make an appointment with you. Just give us sort of a brief overview. What does it look like to work with you? Come in, what happens?
Yeah. So finding out, like I always say, we have our own unique thumbprint. You know, everybody's so different.
Yeah.
And so I always do a complimentary consultation first to really identify what are the imbalances that are going on with the health. What are the goals? How long is it going to take us to get there? What are their factors of going into place? And what's their commitment to making a change? You know, where are they at on that scale? And sometimes they're just not ready yet, and that's perfectly fine. You know, I really start asking specific questions to kind of get their readiness. Like, where are they on this scale? And wherever they're at, maybe they're not quite ready yet. So then I give them some tools like, okay, here, maybe just start implementing this. And at least give them some value and help them get started somewhere. And then when they're ready, they can come back. So I work with my clients either privately or in a group setting. So it depends on, like I said, their goals, how long it's going to take them to get there. And then we'll matchmake them based on where they're at. So I offer several different programs and different things that I offer. So that's why I always say, I always do start with a consultation first, so I can best serve them and give them what's going to best be for them.
So vetting is a big part of the process.
Just yes.
Like you say, you know, okay, mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. It's great. Because it is important to know where they're at as far as the commitment. Like, you know, 100% of them that come in want to feel differently, but they're not always 100% ready to do what's necessary. So it's would be, and that's an important thing to know, because mm-hmm. You know, if they're spending money and you're spending your time, but they're then leaving and not really implementing it, nobody wins here, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah,
exactly. I want my clients to be successful, get the results that they're after, and not need me forever.
That's exactly it. And typically, like really authentic, genuine coaches who are good coaches, you do coach yourself out of a client. I mean, that is the end goal, is to get them to a point where they're feeling well, they have the tools, they've been educated, and they know what to do moving forward to, you know, sustain this. So that's what I really want people to understand, that coaching isn't just about having to have that person for the rest of your life. Coaching is getting you to where you need to be, where you want to be, with all the tools to sustain it. Now, that may mean, too, that once every month or once every 2 months, you kind of check in, or if things happen, it's like, look, I need to reconnect because I, you know, I had surgery, or I went through this thing and I just kind of need a reset, or I need some accountability right now. You know, clearly that can be definitely part of the equation over the course of a lifetime. But ultimately, yeah, you coach yourself out of a client, because mm-hmm. that's where the success lies, not just for you as a coach, but for the client themselves, you know?
Correct. Absolutely.
So can you also speak a little bit to the reality of what realistically, and again, it's very unique individual to individual, because people come in at different levels of the playing field of where they're at with their health and what they need and how long that process is going to take. But I'm trying to hit home with our listeners that it's not like, this isn't like necessarily a 6 or 8 week thing. Can you speak to the reality of what a client might be looking at in terms of really getting healthy again and being able to go on and sustain that? Like, what's the timeline? And again, I know it's not just, it's this much time, because client to client, it is going to be different.
Right.
But
right.
Just talk a little bit about like the timeliness and what the reality is of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. So I always tell my clients, you know, depending on their goals, depending on where they're at, but, you know, minimum is when I'll work with a client is 3 months. That's a minimum. Yeah. I will not do anything less than that, because it's there's not going to be a habit that's going to be established.
Right.
Right. And so I always say, you know, really plan on 6 months to a year, but not saying it's going to take a year to get the results. I'm just saying it takes consistency. It takes really, but could you imagine, like, look how fast the years are going by.
Right.
Right. Like, here we are, like, already going, you know, our month has gone by already.
February tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Like, where did the month go? And so looking how fast, like, the years go by, and could you imagine, like, just, you know, if you just embraced, you know, transformative health in a year, not saying it's going to take that at all by any means, but where would you be next year? You know, if you just committed and really, you know, implemented the changes. So what my goal is with my clients is I can get more accomplished in 3 months with my clients that took me years in the making. So yeah. I have a whole like structure laid out. So we go through all the strategies, the big, you know, things that we need to cover: mindset, sleep, nutrition, like functional movement, all these things are covered in a short amount of time to help them really get significant wins quickly.
Yeah. Well said. Mm-hmm. So with all that being said, how you need to, what I'd like you to do is to give us all the places and ways that our listeners can find you to either find out more, learn how to work with you. Where can they go to find you?
So my website is rootedholistichealth.com.
Okay.
And on there, you can contact me and you can even request a complimentary consultation. That is probably the quickest, easiest way to do that. I'm also on social media. So on Instagram, it's Jen Jenkins Health Coach and _ in between each of those words. And then on Facebook, it's Rooted Holistic Health Coaching is my Facebook. And so any of those platforms, feel free to reach out and, you know, just follow, like, subscribe. I put out, you know, really tips, strategies, just to really help spread the message that,
great.
You know, and I think the thing too, Tanya, is just, you know, going back to the beginning of our conversation is in this journey, you feel alone and you feel like you're on your own island.
Yeah.
And I don't want people to ever feel the way that I felt. And so to know, like, there are people out there that are on this same mission, and just to give them the support and encouragement, whether people work with me or not, the goal is to create a movement of better health. We should all be, because it's holding people back in their lives. And so that's really what I'm after, is just to really help empower others, whatever that looks like for them.
I love that. I love that, creating a movement of better, a movement of better health. I love that. And I think that is, I think that's something that we all need to embrace, because we're all part of that happening. It's not just something one person can do or a few people do. It's all of us have to collectively decide we want to feel better and we want to live better, live more optimally. And it's going to take all of us to make it happen because there's a bigger picture involved.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So there's other moving parts that play into our food supply and the things that are happening in our environment. So it's going to take us globally to actually have massive impact with this and create that movement and force it to happen and to stick. So
okay, great.
Jen, thank you so much for being on the show. I can't believe we're an hour already. I mean, I could talk for another hour easily. So with that being said, I'll have to have you back on the show in a few months so we can have another conversation because this has been wonderful. I know it's been very educational and informative for our listeners. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
For taking your time and sharing with us. If you like this podcast, please make sure you give us a 5-star review and tune in next time for our next guest. It's going to be a good one. As always, love having you join us. And Coach Tanya saying goodbye, be healthy, and be a part of this movement. We need to create a movement for better health. Everybody take care, and we will chat soon.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. If you found value in today's episode, please subscribe so that more people can find out about our show. Plus, you don't want to miss any future episodes with the amazing guests and topics we have lined up for you.